The following clip is from a seminar conducted by Dr. Graves in June of 1974. It's presented to you by NBC Consulting, spiraldynamics.org.
Let me say this to you. I take the position that formal psychology as we know it offers no adequate explanation of why man's behavior has been what it has been in the past. It offers no adequate explanation of why man is behaving as he does today. And it offers no way for us to project ourselves into seeing how man will behave in the future. So, in essence, that very large task is what I'm attempting to do. I'm trying to explain why man, both individually and socially, behaved the way he did in the past, why he behaves as he does in the present, and to lay out a framework which will enable us to have some idea of how he is going to behave in the future. In order to do this, I take exception to one of the most dearly held beliefs of man, the belief that there is such a condition as psychological maturity. And I take exception to the belief that if the human beings in this world were properly reared, man could live in a utopian world of happiness, productivity, self-realization, and contentment. I propose instead, on the basis of 20 years of research and conceptualization, that the belief in psychological maturity is not only man's greatest delusion, but also the major reason why he cannot understand the moral, managerial, educational, political, and ethical dilemmas which so regularly confound him. It is my position, developed and brought out in my work, that the process of psychological growth and development and its management has been erroneously based by those who have studied it. I deny that psychological development is a process of the implementation of right habits of doing, of thinking, of moralizing, as say the behaviorists. I deny that psychological growth follows the biological model, wherein man's psychology is seen to develop from immaturity through a series of ordered stages in the direction of a state of ultimate psychological maturity, as do the psychoanalysts. And I deny the position of the humanistic psychologists that the only things which prevent man from achieving his fully human, fully functioning self are the child-rearing and socio-institutional roadblocks put in his path. In place of these conceptions of the development of man, I take the position that man's psychological development is an infinite process, that there is not, even in theory, any such thing as a state of psychological maturity or the possibility of a utopia for man on the social level. I say instead, from the data of my studies, that what psychological maturity is a function of man's conditions for existence. And I say that so long as man continues to solve his problems of existence, he will forever and on proliferate into newer and higher order forms of psychological being. And I say that what our definition of psychological maturity is, and what our idea of utopia is, will change with each new and every newly emergent form of psychological existence. And I say that how we believe we should manage man's behavior will change with each and every new form of psychological existence. Thus it is the thesis of my work that though man is one biological organism who does in fact develop biologically from a state of immaturity to a relative state of biological maturity, which he maintains during the greater part of his individual existence, he is an infinite number of psychological beings. And that our understanding of man, so far as his ethics, his values and purposes, as how to educate him, manage him, his politics and so on, must be changed as he changes his character of psychological being. We must reorganize our thinking and our approaches to man's problems to include the fact that there is no ultimate set of ethics, no ultimate way to teach reading, teach this, teach that, or anything else. No ultimate values and purposes by which man should live that will ever be revealed, laid down, or discovered. There is instead an hierarchically ordered, always open to change, set of ethics, values, purposes, beliefs, ways of managing by which man will come to live. Thus, if we are to make progress in our attack upon man's problems, our task is to learn how to live with an ever-changing process of the psychology of man. Therefore, if you have almost despaired at times of making sense of human life, of the problems that we have and the people with whom you have to deal, then this work may bring you clarification and new hope, because in it you may find new explanations of man's past, new understandings of his present, and new visions for his future. If you have asked yourself, what has all of this militancy in our world been, this violence in so many of our people, or whether man is tearing apart at his moral seams, then from this work you may find new and possibly even heretical thought in what I have to say. If you are a social planner concerned with the current and future goals of mankind, then the material brought to you may open new horizons to your thinking. If personally you have asked, why can't I get along with my boss, or if you are the boss, why are my subordinates so intractable? Then what this work says about the adult human being and the management of him at work may open new vistas for your thinking. If you are concerned with your organization and its viability, whether it be profit or non-profit oriented, then what is to be said about organizational decision making may be something you need well to consider. If your interests are in the basic social or behavioral sciences, and if you are seeking regions for research which might extend man's knowledge, then the theoretical framework may warrant study and consideration. If you're an applied scientist, an educator or the like seeking new approaches to your problems, then you may find new avenues opened by what this point of view has to say. If you're of the older generation trying to comprehend the young, or if you're one of the young trying to communicate your message of concern and hope, then again, this work may enable you to see the breadth of your problem. And finally, at this point, if you're just like me, simply a human being wondering what human life is really like and what it is meant to be, then you may find what I have to say tantalizing. But if you are of another ilk, then what I have to say may be nothing less than scandalous. Now, the overall aim of my work is rather broad. It sounds almost megalomaniacal, but it is this: to develop in basic form a theory of behavior which clarifies within its framework the many confusing, contradictory, and controversial aspects of adult human behavior, which is at one and the same time comprehensible to the layman and contributory to the worlds of pure and applied science, which will someday coalesce into one explanatory framework the many diverse theories of human behavior which have been presented to date, which will be applicable to any human being regardless of the culture in which he lives, which will reach into the past, carry through the present, and project into the future so as to help the examiner of the theory make better sense of human behavior and see in clearer light the totality of human life, which will provide a revised, enlarged, and in many respects new theoretical framework within which the pure and applied scientist can examine and re-examine and extend his knowledge of adult human behavior and cultural institutions and ways of handling men, which will provide the applied social scientists and social planners with a different means to the end of comprehending and approaching human problems than they have had at their disposal before, which will provide the philosophically minded with new and needed goals for mankind, ethical-wise and otherwise, which will differently explain what our generation gaps, why they exist, and what we should know about them if we are adequately to meet them when they emerge, which strives differently to explain why you and the boss don't get along and what your organization can do to rectify such threats to its viability, which explains why one nation so often alienates another nation and how relations between nations might be approached so as to ameliorate this problem, our educational and child-rearing problems. And above all else, the aim of my work is to explain what human life is all about and what it is meant to be, and to lay out through its blueprint what one might consider to be the goals for the future of mankind. That's what I'm working on.